Okay, so we are doing something very exciting and a little different this summer. We are doing Let's Talk Koinonia. So this is a discussion, so feel free to chime in at any time. But with that said, we want to make sure that we respect everyone's comments and respect what everyone has to say. If you don't understand something, maybe follow that up with a question rather than an accusation. So just be very conscious of the way you are treating other people's opinions. Okay, so with that said, tonight we are starting to talk about abortion. So when you hear the word abortion, what words come to mind? I'm going to play this game, just like at the beginning.
Baby.
What?
Baby.
Baby. What else? Just shout them out.
Sad.
Sad, okay.
Dead.
Dead, okay.
Mistake.
It's a good one. Others.
Medical.
Fetus.
Okay.
Pregnant.
Yeah. Keep them coming.
Murdered.
What? Say that again.
Murder.
Okay.
Unplanned.
Unplanned. Yeah. Scary?
Cowardly.
Okay, cool. I think that's a good list to start us off and to start us thinking. So I have a couple demographics and statistics for you to get you thinking. In 2010, 1 out of 3 women had an abortion, but this number is dropping. Okay, so women are getting less and less abortions. I have a feeling this might have something to do with birth control. The majority of these women who are getting abortions are in their 20s and 30s. Only 12% are teens. That was surprising to me. 60% of these women already have children. 25% are Catholic. 17% are mainline Protestant. And 13 are evangelical Protestant. Todd, what are we? Mainly
evangelical.
You were right. I was wrong. Sorry. Okay. The most common reason for abortions are financial, at 40%. The second most common is women say it's bad timing. And then 33% say it's for partner-related reasons, such as an abusive relationship. Which of these statistics stands out most to you?
First one.
Why?
Because that's a lot of people.
Yeah. That is, a lot more than I thought, too. Any others stand out to you guys? Yeah, Ryan.
60% already.
That was a big one for me, too. I didn't know that either. Why does that one shock you?
Because, they've already taken care of kids. They prove that they can do it. So.
Do you think maybe, the kids they have already are overwhelming? Yeah, some of you. Ginger, why are you nodding?
I mean, I guess I just don't see a reason. If you've already had one, then I feel like you should see, I don't know.
Yeah. Any other statistics that stand out to y'all?
12% of our teens surprised me, because I would think that most of the people getting abortions would be the ones that didn't plan to be pregnant, which sadly it seems like a lot of them would be teens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or even with teens have that kind of irresponsible, sorry guys, you guys have that irresponsible air around you guys, whereas if you're in your 20s and 30s, then you must have your life together, I feel like there's that. Any others surprise you? What about the Christian ones?
I don't really know what those words mean.
Which ones?
The mainline and evangelical.
It's just certain branches of Christianity.
Do they ask you your religion when you get an abortion? How did they get this statistic? They do?
I don't know. I just read it from the article. So, yeah, probably. They probably do studies like that. That might be a little uncomfortable. Say it again?
Post-abortion. They don't interview people when they're getting it.
Yeah, that's probably a little traumatic.
They'll survey demographics and ask, if you've had this, tell us about yourself.
There we go. That makes more sense. Yeah, word blur.
Do families like not believe in birth control?
Yeah, that's a common, not all, but that's a common belief. Brett?
I have a question.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's hard for the mom to put a baby up for adoption, but how hard, like, literally, is it to put a baby up for adoption?
I know the process, I'm not sure about the process of putting a baby up for adoption as much as the process of adopting is really hard. And I know that from Gracie and my sister.
We have babies left on my floor that I work on, and then we put them up for adoption.
Yeah. What makes you think of that question?
Well, if they can't, a lot of it has to do with, like, they can't have the baby, so let's just have an abortion. So another option is to have the baby and put it up for adoption.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's hard mentally.
It's hard mentally, and pregnancy is a lot on the body, too, is another argument for that. What do these statistics tell you about women who are getting abortions? What does it tell you about the women?
That they're not just like the homeless teenager or something like that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That they're afraid of reality.
It's a lot of fear. Yeah. How about the men? What does it tell you about the men?
They're cowards.
Why do you say that?
Well, like, in the situation that it's like an unplanned pregnancy between a couple, as the man, religion or not, you're called to be a leader. Like, that's just what a man is. So for you to say that you're just going to get an abortion instead of working to provide for your family, you're a dude. Step up.
Yeah. What else does it say about men?
To me, it says, I'm not sure how many of them even know.
Yeah.
I mean, it says 33% of the women have an abortion, that abortion, say that they're partner-related reasons, like an abusive relationship. So a third of the women don't think or know by telling them the partner's not a fan. That 67% of women didn't even mention the partner at all.
They're not a part of the equation.
Yeah, which to me means they don't even know.
Absence. Yeah, yeah. When you look at these statistics, what scripture might come to mind? Thou shalt not murder. Classic.
Thou shalt not commit adultery.
Thou shalt not commit adultery. Yeah, it starts with the sexual moral. Yeah, Ryan.
Do all things you Christ, you strengthen me.
Yeah. What makes you think of that one?
Because going by that, you could raise a child. Is that the only option?
Yeah. Off that note, one of the ones I thought of was Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will keep your path straight. Why do you think I thought of that one? Yeah. Who here struggles with trusting God? A lot. Imagine having to trust God for that and another baby, too. That's hard. There's some other verses up here that you can take a look at if you want to, but we're going to continue to move on. With the process of abortion, okay? So 2/3 of abortion occurs in the first 8 weeks of pregnancy, and most all occur in the first trimester, which is 12 weeks. Okay, so pregnancy is in three trimesters. First trimester is 12 weeks. Okay, tune in for any of this, Katie. I know you got experience. The fetus, or an unborn child, is about the size of a pumpkin seed at this time. The heart is fully formed at 6 weeks. Reflex begins at 10 weeks, which is a big deal when talking about abortion because some people think that the baby can feel pain, but the baby can't feel pain until 24 weeks when the cortex is developed. So pain begins at 24 weeks. In the first trimester, there are two kinds of abortion. The first is medication abortion. So this is where the woman takes two pills. The first pill is anti-progesterone pill that tells the body you are not pregnant. Then the second pill replicates a miscarriage. So that's how that abortion occurs. The second type of abortion you can get is surgical abortion, which the doctor uses a suction or tongs to remove the child. And this takes about 30 seconds to 2 minutes. In the second trimester, you can no longer use suction. They use forceps to remove the child, which are like those, I don't know, I don't even like the word. Only 1.8% of abortions occur in the third and final trimester of pregnancy, and this is usually due to complications with the child, such as they had something like Blakely or Mosley, and the parents choose to abort. Listen to this. So Andy and I listen to Science Versus a lot, and so we listen to Science Versus Abortion. So I'm going to show a couple clips from that. Listen to this clip, and then we'll discuss.
What do the parts look like? Yeah, I know that's a really graphic question, but
they look like very miniature baby parts. A very miniature human form. And Lisa says that those posters that anti-abortion groups hold around abortion clinics, those photos in them, can actually be pretty accurate. I drive by those images every day, and some days my work looks like that, really. I mean, most days it does not, because those images of later second trimester fetuses, those are the tiny minority of abortions, so most days in a typical abortion care center, there wouldn't be later abortions. But sometimes those images actually look kind of like my work today. And while Lisa does this on the reg, there are days that really stick out. She was about 4 months pregnant with her first child, and she gave an abortion to a woman who was about as pregnant as she was. And while Lisa was performing the procedure, she felt her baby kick. It was one of the first times it had happened, and she told Heather that it really took her by surprise. It was a feeling that I could feel a fetus kicking, moving inside of me at the same time that I was removing a fetus. And it was something in that juxtaposition that was overwhelming, and I just found myself kind of crying.
How did you wipe your tears away?
Well, I couldn't because I had sterile gloves on and I was in the middle of a procedure, so they just rolled down my face.
You never had that experience?
I never had that experience before. And part of it, as I think about it now, I think I was so happy to be pregnant and so much wanted to be a mother. And I remember feeling just so privileged that I could be a mother and that I was getting ready with my family to welcome a child. And I remember thinking how, what it meant that not everybody could do that for whatever reason. And I remember just feeling fortunate.
Okay, so what is your initial response to these statistics? You can put those back up if you want, Todd. And that the description of the woman giving an abortion. Yeah, Lindsay.
I feel like, well, with all that stuff, and then, I mean, being in procedure and feeling that, what would make you not want to stop and, you know, some people like have kids and it's like the best thing that's ever happened to them, but they don't know that until after they have the kid. So
yeah.
I feel like from the statistics, it's like too easy to have an abortion. You just take two pills around like a 1 minute process done, and then like there's no more child.
Mm-hmm.
That life is gone now. It just goes away so quickly.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Just to clarify, so like the two pills, we're talking about like the day after pill?
No.
No. Is that still considered an abortion?
Scientifically, according to this podcast, no, because the plan B, it delays ovulation. So
you're like still killing a child? Or like you're
what
just
do you
preventing
think?
It from being formed.
What do you think?
I think you're preventing it from being formed, but I like actually am not fully informed.
It causes you it not to implant, and it like it, I think at that point the baby's already or the fetus has already started to replicate at that point and already started the growth process. And so at that point you are expelling any of the developed parts of a baby.
Because even after, like once the egg is fertilized, like, you really just have to decide or look to see truth on when does new life begin. If it begins at conception, that's when the soul's made, then the day after pill would be taking something, like, the egg is already fertilized, conception already happened, and then aborting it.
Getting rid of whatever's
like is what verses come to mind as you reflect on this information? Yeah.
I'm gonna butcher this verse, but I'm gonna try.
It's okay.
It's the one that goes like, he knit me together. Mother's womb, he knew me before I was even born or something. Or
mm-hmm.
Along those lines.
That's Psalms 139, 13 through 16. For you created me in my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days adorned for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. It's the first one I thought of, too. Any other verses come to mind?
I think if my grace is sufficient for you, my power or powers made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I boast all the more gladly about my weakness that Christ's power may be and rests on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. When I am weak, and he is strong.
What brings that to mind?
Because, man, I can imagine being in such life and feel so weak. Like, I feel very out of control and scared, and I wouldn't, like, just so... But in my weakness, he's strong. Like a bad thing is always a bad thing. It doesn't mean that it's like, oh, it can be redeemed. It's just a hard thing. But Christ is strong in that. And therefore, we can boast about that and about how strong he is.
Yeah. Absolutely. What do you think these verses up here say about abortion?
It's childish. God saw the pain before we did. He knew what it would become.
Yeah.
But we didn't think about it.
That God sees. Yeah. Sarah.
That it's like not our lives. Mm.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of the same thing, like, destroying his creation. So like, it's kind of out of place. Take something that's not yours. Just like when you're having your friends, like, kick down their tower in preschool.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Riley.
I think it's weird to think that, like, because God wasn't like, oh my gosh, the friends, like, I didn't mean for that to happen. Like, it was planned in his eyes.
Hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That God has planned that, even though it's felt very unplanned.
Yeah, somebody told me that, like, people don't make babies. God makes babies. And that not everybody was meant to be a parent. So sometimes, like, it's really tough. And maybe you shouldn't be a parent at a time, but that's when you can put your kids up for adoption or find somebody, a family member or something like that. But not everybody was meant to be a parent, but every kid who is born is supposed to be that person in that kid's life.
Hmm. Yeah, I like that. Okay, so now we're going to talk a little bit about the consequences, which is where I was very surprised. So listen to this. This is also the Australian lady, so bear through her accent. But
So some women spoke to me, but then the clinic has these journals, and the women who come through who get abortions can write entries in those journals. And they let us flip through some of these journals. So you're going to hear Rachel Ward. She was with me. She's a producer here at Gimlet, and we went to Texas together.
This is not a baby embryo / blood clot / egg cell that really alter a person's life.
So this woman, she said she's never been faced with such a decision. She's been raised not believing in abortion and always preached to others that unless you were a victim of rape or having this baby would result in death, then it was not right. This is not your decision to make. Only God can take a life. The reason she's here is because she's a single mom of two children. And she says that she does it and they live comfortably, but she doesn't know if she can make it alone with three small kids. I will walk out of here and no longer be pregnant and go home and love my two babies just as much as I did before I walked into this place. I just hope that I am still allowed to walk into heaven one day. May God see my pain and my struggle, and may God be with me and you.
Yeah. What do you guys think about that? What do you think of? That's awesome.
I think it's Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. It's basically just saying there's a time for everything.
Hmm.
And there's one line specifically that says, like, a time to mourn and grieve and stuff.
What made you think of, why does that remind you of that?
Just because she was basically saying, like, she knew what she was doing. And, like, that's grief.
Hmm.
Like, I go to a grief group and we talk about that kind of stuff all the time. Like we talk about realizing it and then going to like the waves and stuff. Then just like getting through it, I guess, but we still know that we did something wrong. But she was basically like the woman, whoever it was saying, I hope I can still go into heaven and God would still see me and stuff. And like just shows like she was really, she thought she knew what was best for her.
It's cool that you can empathize with her. Is anyone else able to empathize with the woman? Is it hard for some of you too? You can be honest. Kind of. It's like connecting to that same emotion in your heart. Like Lindsay was able to connect her grief to that woman's grief.
It's like putting yourself in their shoes. Like her,
like not thinking about what you're going through or anything and just like being there for a second.
Is that sympathy the one where you're...
We can watch Brene Brown later, guys. Andy's got you. This was really surprising to me that I grew up hearing how women will feel so much shame from abortion, and I think that's definitely true, especially if God has grasped your heart. However, there's a woman doing research out in California, and she studies women post-abortion. So 2 years after women have had an abortion, that woman has a 95% chance of saying that the abortion was the right thing for her. And after 5 years, that chance remains the same. So most of these women don't regret that abortion. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
They didn't have to deal with the stress of having a kid, even though it might have been supposed to have a kid.
Yeah. Lindy, what were you going to say?
I said, like, I can see that because if they've already made the, like, I mean, I guess for most people, I've never done it, but I guess it would be, like, hard. So, like, if you're going to spend that much time and it's going to be that hard, you're probably going to know you made the right decision, like, going in.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen to this. This was also surprising to me as well.
After the idea that many women regret their decisions and feel guilty about what they've done, Diana wrote that this was, quote, unfounded, end quote. She found that after 3 years, the typical woman in her study had more than a 95% chance of reporting that the abortion was right for her. And 2 years later, she says, that feeling stuck.
Over 5 years, women who get abortions remain relieved and feel like they made the right decision in having an abortion.
So, while individuals might have different experiences, the research tells us that a woman's risk of mental health problems is the same, whether she had the initially unwanted baby or not. But differences have been found between women who get abortions and those who don't but wanted one. So, for example, in Diana's study, while she hasn't published this data yet, preliminary results showed that women who had the baby were
less likely to be employed full-time, more likely to receive public assistance, but also more likely to be in poverty.
And 4 years down the track, women who didn't get the abortions that they wanted were less able to make ends meet. Now, when we look back to that finished study, we kind of found the same thing. Women who got abortions were more likely to be better off financially and be better educated by the time they were 25 compared to those who gave birth. Now, the research doesn't say that the abortion was the only reason why these women were better off in terms of education, employment, and finance, but it does seem to play a role here. Diana also found that for the relatively small group of women who wanted an abortion because they were in an abusive relationship with the father and then they couldn't get one, those women were more likely to still be in that abusive relationship 2.5 years later.
And we find that violence from the man involved in the pregnancy declines precipitously for women who have the abortion, and that's because they have broken ties with that person.
And to Diana, her study shows that women are realistic about their reasons for getting an abortion. So many of the things that they worry might happen if they're not able to get one, it turns out, actually sometimes happen.
And women were right. They knew what to expect. Having an abortion is probably not fun at all, and they made the decision to do this stigmatized thing because they looked at their lives and realized they weren't ready for a baby.
What do you guys think about that?
As for the idea that many women regret their...
A lot of the statistics I feel like are kind of obvious. Like, if you have a kid, you're probably not going to be as well off because, I mean, you have to take care of a kid, you have to feed it, yeah. You have to, like, clothe it. I mean, I feel like that's just kind of like, well, I mean,
yeah.
Kids are expensive.
Yeah. So what do you, what does that tell you about the world and the way they're presenting that information?
I think it shows that we're kind of selfish. Like, I want more stuff for me, and so I'm willing to take a life to have my stuff, even if it is an unborn child.
Yeah, I think you're right. Does that remind you of any verses? Yeah, I mean, I think there's a side to that too, where you have to disengage at some level of your heart. I think Julie Costas, I watched her video too, but chose not to use it, said it took her decades before she mourned her abortion that she had, and you can watch that on Wildwood's thing. So I think 5 years might not even be enough to know. Yeah, Lindsay.
So this kind of reminds me of like Alec and Allie and them like getting married so young, and Austin just basically saying something at their wedding like trusting God,
mm-hmm.
you know, through everything that's gonna happen in this time, and then they got pregnant with Mosey and all of her issues and things. And they don't have a lot of money and they can't really make a lot of things meet, but they're trusting in God that He would like help them.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gotten through life for. They're going to be, I think their engagement's coming up, and they're going to be married for 7 years, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, 7 years together, like, you know, God had something, like, going for them, and He had that big plan, and He's not going to let anything stop that.
Hmm.
Yeah. I feel like sometimes, like, struggle to make ends meet, but did they make it? Are they a family? Or, because I don't think the Lord put us on the earth for us all to live in a huge mansion somewhere. You know, like, for myself, if I lived in a nice house and, you know, never got medical issues or anything, I would never look to Him. He put us on the earth to glorify Him. So being in that poverty and looking back and saying, you know, I almost didn't have this child, but now I do, and being able to reflect on I feel like that's what should be taught, especially from a religious standpoint.
Yeah.
Not that it's just wrong, but that this is the outcome, this is the other side of it. You get to look back and say that, you know, the Lord has got me to this place.
It's like what Savannah was saying when she said, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." That's really cool. How do we love women who've had an abortion?
In the same way you love anyone who sins, like, they made a decision, but, like, we all make bad decisions. So, like, just don't, like, ostracize them and don't, like, remind them of what they did. Just, like, treat them like a person.
Yeah. How do you think Jesus would treat one of these women? Or is treating one of these women?
Just the same. Because Romans 3:23 says that for all sin and fallen short of the glory of God. And
yeah.
Mr. Neal taught us, or I guess Mr. Elder, Deacon. Anyway, he taught us two Sundays ago, we were talking about the Pharisees. James was talking to the Pharisees, I think, or it was a letter, but basically, when a rich man comes in and you seek him at the best seat at the table, and there's the poor man, where would you sit? Or he just sits at your feet.
Mm.
Something to that effect. Basically, this lesson was about that we're all created equal, and no matter your social status or what you believe in, doesn't matter. It's
we've all sinned, and we all need God's grace. For me, sometimes abortion can feel a little distant because I haven't had one, or just like a far-fetched idea. But this last tape I'm going to play for you is a little closer to home. It's Michael's story, so listen to what he has to say.
All right, so I'm trying to record this again, but pretty much I got up and on that day we went and got a bunch of ultrasound appointments. And it was really, really hard, tons and tons of appointments, and the doctors were using words like she has frog eyes or bug eyes, and her eyes were popped out of her sockets, and she had a giant hole in her face and her nose, and just words that were super negative that just kind of brought us a lot of shame, anxiety, and we felt like our little girl was just totally destroyed in the womb and had no chance at life or had any hope at all. So we just kind of sat in those cold, you know, those progressing lit hospital room for hours that